I fist the hooter twice at the jerk who cut in front of me, almost smashing into my fender. He's not the first of the day to do that. Probably the fourth. I glance at the rearview mirror and see my passenger glaring at me. A kilometer later, she gets out of the car and gives me a 2-star rating. My puffed cheeks deflate as I blow frustration out of my mouth. I rub my forehead and contemplate ignoring the annoying beep to notify me of a customer requesting a ride. I switch the app to offline and then head to a gym. Working out always helps me to cool off and reboost my mental energy. I load up 100 kilograms of weight on the bar and sit on the bench. My peripheral reveals a woman at the cable machine, bending over and extending her leg behind her. She seems extremely attractive, but I don't dare let my eyes dart. My mission is to rid myself of frustration before doing anything else. As I recline on the bench, my peripheral shows me that she glanced at me. Okay, no biggie. It could be an accidental peek. I'm hoping it's more, but it might not be. Listen to me. I'm so desperate for her attention that I make a big thing out of an innocent gaze. Shut up, pre-drag, and lift. I bench the 100 kilograms about 8 reps before my elbows begin to shake, but I maintain focus. She might be watching me, and I'll be damned if I don't do 10 reps. The 10th rep tears my chest and makes me grit my teeth, with sweat forming on my forehead. I fully extend my arms and hook the bar on the bench. I sit up and see her doing the cable standing reverse leg raise. The black leggings reveal her perfectly round ass, and the tight top shows her C-cup round hanging tits. Oh God. She looks amazing. Her brunette hair is tied up, not a single strand out of place. No earphones in her ears and no phone in sight. I know she's serious about training. She could walk out any moment, and my opportunity is gone. I have to say something. I don't want to disturb her workout, but I have to make a move. Anything will do. Hi. How many sets do you have left? I ask. Just one, she says, looking at the mirror and avoiding eye contact. She's not dismissing me. It seems that she's a bit shy. I stand next to the machine and wait for her to finish. After completing the set, she unclips the ankle straps. It's all yours, she says while looking at the floor. I'm convinced that she's shy and not ignoring me. I grab the two handles to do a cable crossover and see her walk upstairs to the weight section. Damn it, why is she going up there? A few minutes later, while I'm still on the cable machine, she comes back and uses the squat machine next to me. It must be a coincidence. But it can't be. She's hovering around me. She must want me to talk to her. Only one way to find out. I turn my face to her while my body faces straight and I ask, smiling, "How's the training going?" Her lips curl and she looks at me. Nothing like a Sunday workout to get the new week started on a high note. Not only is she absolutely stunning, but she's also positive. Please, God, tell me that she doesn't have a boyfriend. It seems like you're serious about training. Are you competing with your boyfriend to see who's stronger? I chuckle, but I cringe on the inside because I feel stupid for bringing that up. Too soon, moron. I actually don't have a boyfriend. Thank God. Good call, genius, on bringing up the boyfriend thing. I'm pre-drag, I say and extend my hand. Nice to meet you, pre-drag. I'm Susanna. We chat in between sets about workouts, and then I transition to hobbies. I enjoy these garden restaurants. The ambience is so tranquil and soul-soothing, she says. Oh, okay. Then you must love the La Café Paris. It's a new place on Houghton Road, and although I don't frequent restaurants, I've dropped off plenty of people there. Her eyes broaden and she smiles. You know, I've actually never been. Neither have I. What do you say I take you there? She smiles, her eyes sparkling before she slightly hides them from me as her gaze drops to the floor. She looks at me again, and I see those sparkly eyes again, which fuel me with immense energy. I'd love to. I smile at her and then get her number. I let her complete her workout without interruption by going upstairs. She's on my mind. I can't stop thinking about her smile, serene spirit, and positive nature. She's lovely. Too lovely. I wonder if she's going to flake. I close my eyes, seated on the bench, and bow my head. No, she can't flake. That will ruin everything. I go downstairs and see that she's gone. In my car, I stare at her number. I've already memorized it, in case my phone dies and cannot start again. I consider pressing a call to make sure that she's serious about the date. Does she even think it's a date or just an opportunity to go to La Café Paris? I raise my chin and roar, my thoughts spiral out of control, and I can't control them. I want to see her so badly. Just relax. She's a nice person. She's not going to stand you up. I think for a few seconds about the repercussions on my heart if she does. She better not. I switch the app to online and immediately get a request for a ride. Oh my God. It's Susanna. Maybe I should cancel the ride. But wait, she's seen on the app that it's me. I can't cancel. It will be rude. I pull up to her 50 meters down the road as she exits a shop and then switch on my hazards. She smiles and says, "Hi again." "Hi. I'm your ride." I cringe on the inside as it sounds sexual. She gets in the back and says, "I didn't know you offer taxi services." "I do. This is actually my full-time gig until I find something better." "Good on you for working until you find your ideal job." "Thanks. What do you do?" "I'm a computer engineer." My eyebrows raise. "Oh, really?" I'm impressed but more intimidated. So now, not only is she stunning, positive, fit, and friendly, but she's also smart and a high earner. Just great. Why would she be interested in a taxi driver like me? She must get hundreds of advances from those uptight corporate snobs. I've got a master's in computer science. Been with my current company for 7 years. Seems like you're the complete package. "Why do you say that?" she says. I look in the rearview mirror and see her smiling. "You've got everything going for you. You're smart, polite, physically active, and you radiate such a welcoming energy." "Thank you. That's probably the nicest compliment anybody has given me." "I mean it. I'm not just saying that because you're paying me $10 for this ride." She chuckles. I look at the rearview mirror again and smile. Oh God. This woman is so magical. How can someone be so perfect? I pull up in front of her building. "Thanks so much, Predrag. Let me know about La Café Paris. I'd love to check it out." I look over my shoulder at her, smiling. "I'll definitely call you." She gently closes the door, and I watch her wipe her feet on the mat in front of her building before she enters. I tilt my head back on the seat rest and smile. The beeping interrupts my train of thought, and I quickly accept the trip. But I don't want to pull off. Being in front of Susanna's building somehow makes me feel close to her. I close my eyes and shake my head. "Come on, snap out of it. You'll see her again." She confirmed. "It's definitely on." Susanna is on my mind for the rest of the day. I can't wait to see her again. Being around makes all my problems easier. I love seeing her eyes, smile, and hearing her soft voice. Her questioning me about my life makes me feel special. It shows me that somebody gives a damn. Meeting her shows me that life helps me out just when I think that my day is about to get worse. When everything seems to be going wrong and nothing's going according to plan, it takes 1 second to change my outlook. Actually, just one person. I finish my last ride at 2:30 a.m. and then head home. It's difficult to fall asleep because a beautiful angel is on my mind, and I don't want the image to disappear. Just after midday, I finish a trip and then switch off the app because I know that business will pick up at 4 p.m. when most people get off work. I might as well call Susanna now. The phone rings, and my heartbeat gains momentum. Hello, Susanna speaking. Hi. It's Predrag. Oh, hi. She sounds pleasantly surprised. I'm actually on my lunch break now, so you caught me at the right time, she adds. Perfect. Just thought I'd touch base with you and see if you're up for La Café Paris tomorrow night. You know what? Tomorrow is good for me, yeah. Great. I can pick you up if you want. No charge for the ride this time. She chuckles. Sure, why not? Usually, on a Tuesday night, I work. In fact, I work every day and save my money to invest in Bitcoin. I really believe that it will provide me with massive returns, but I just have to be patient. Haven't decided yet what I'm gonna do with the money. Maybe I'll open a gun shop. But I'm definitely opening some kind of a business. I can't drive people around for the rest of my life. But since I'm taking out the most beautiful woman in the world, I've taken the evening off. I buy cheap cologne from a guy I know and a new white shirt. My money is limited because I've invested almost all my savings into Bitcoin, and I'm pretty much living month to month as the money remaining at month end goes into investments. But I do want Susanna to enjoy herself, so I've got some money. I just hope it's enough. My heartbeat gains momentum as I approach her building. I hope she doesn't pick up that my cologne is cheap. The last thing I want her to know is that my funds are limited and I'm hoping she doesn't order something expensive. She steps out of the building, smiling. I admire her green dress, which reaches her ankles, and the black heels heighten her by 3 centimeters. I get out of the car and smile, then kiss her both cheeks and open the door for her. Thank you. Such a gentleman. At the restaurant, her lips are slightly curled as she peruses the menu. It seems to me that her smile is perpetual, and I can't get enough of it. I glance at her over my menu and hope that she doesn't catch me and think I'm some kind of creep. She tells the waiter her order, and I don't see it on the menu. It was probably on another page than the one I'm on. Damn it. Wonder how much it cost. I opt for the cheapest pasta and bottled water. Don't know why they have to charge $5 for water. If I were alone, I would have ordered tap water. Susanna hands the menu to the waiter and then looks at me, smiling. Where do you stay? Oh God. Hope she doesn't probe. Behind Mill Park. There's a house there I've been at for the last 2 years. I clear my throat. You live by yourself. I quickly ask so that her attention shifts away from my living arrangement. I do. Been on my own for the past 5 years. It can get lonely at times. Sure. So what are you looking for? She smiles and briefly lowers her gaze to the table. She knows I'm talking about a partner. Someone who'll treat me with respect and always be himself. There's no reason for him to try and impress me. A hard worker would also be great. After the meal, Susanna tells me about her travels across Europe, All I can think about is how much money that cost. And there is no way I can afford even a quarter of her journey. She asks me about my travels. I'm embarrassed by the truth, but I don't evade it. I haven't traveled much. I work most of the time and save my money to one day open a business. She purses her lips and nods. Nice. So you've got plans for your future? I do. Can't be a taxi driver forever. Good on you for working towards your dream. It's impressive. Did she just say that she's impressed by me? Thank you. I'm trying. She places her elbow on the table and rests her chin on her fist. You seem quite intriguing. There's something about you that meets more than the eye. I can't put my finger on it, but it feels like you have a story and tremendous potential to do something great one day. Nobody has given me a better compliment. I'm just a taxi driver, and the most wonderful woman in the world thinks I'm interesting and sees something in me nobody ever has. If I had more money on me, I would tell her to order the most expensive wine on the menu. She's worth every cent and more. I keep my eyes on hers and smile. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's so nice of you to say. The waiter interrupts our admiration for each other by placing the food on the table. We break eye contact, and I look at her plate. Her food looks delicious and expensive. I wonder how much it cost. After we finish the food and talk for another half an hour, the waiter brings the bill. I grab the folder and gulp as I see the total. Oh God. I feel my chest clog up and my heartbeat slows down as oxygen struggles to reach it. Damn it. I should have sold some of my Bitcoin to have enough, just in case. It's too late for that now, dummy. What is she gonna think of me? Is everything okay? She asks, noticing that I'm staring at the bill for longer than usual. I'm not going to lie to her. There's no way that's happening. But I don't know how to alleviate the awkwardness. I scratch the back of my head and avoid eye contact with her. Do you want me to get it? I pluck up the courage to look her in the eyes. I really want to pay, but I didn't bring enough to cover everything. It's fine. I can get it. I've got 50 on me, and you can cover the rest if that's okay. Absolutely, she says and smiles. I feel my masculinity drain from my body, and I slouch in my chair, my head slightly tucked in between my raised shoulders. Silence follows for the next few seconds, and it feels like hours. I should say something, but no word comes to mind except the need to apologize. But that will only make matters worse. I feel like such a cheapskate. I'm not surprised if I never see her again. Ready to go? She asks. I nod, feeling like an absolute tool. I pull up in front of her building, look at her and say, I really had an amazing time. She smiles and says, me too. I want to ask her for another date, but I don't want to put her on the spot. I believe the answer is no, and I don't want to ruin what was almost the most perfect night of my life. Good night, she says. After she closes the door, I close my eyes and bow my head. I'm such an idiot. Had the opportunity of a lifetime, and I screwed it up. I shake my head and exhale a deep breath. In bed, I feel terrible for ruining the date. What's worse is that I'm probably not gonna see Susanna ever again. Dwelling on it makes me feel worse, so I turn to my side and stare at the floor. I feel empty. If only I could go back in time, I would have sold all my Bitcoin just to make Susanna happy. I close my eyes. The following day after lunch, I park and stare at my phone. I should call Susanna and apologize. It's the least she deserves after being so kind to me. Even if she never wants to see me again, I need to let her know that she deserved a better experience than she got. I open my phone book, and as I'm ready to press dial, a message comes through. It's Susanna. Had a great time last night. Hope we can do something again soon. I smile. Suddenly, my chest opens up and grants me the privilege of fresh air. I stare at her message and think, "You have no idea how much I want to see you again." I consider sending that message, but it sounds a tad desperate. Instead, I opt for, "Absolutely. Would love to see you again. I'm free Sunday afternoon." She replies with a smiley face and tells me to let her know the time. I pick her up at 3 p.m. on Sunday, and she gets in the car before I get a chance to get out and open the door for her. "Hi," she says, smiling and holding strong eye contact. I lean over and kiss her cheek. She kisses mine, still smiling. I feel we're off to a good start and have shaken off the awkwardness of the previous date. "Where do you feel like going?" I ask. "We can go to Mill Park. They've got amazing ice cream." "I can afford ice cream." "Sounds good." At the park, after buying her 3 scoops, vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry, I suggest we sit on a bench. Susanna wants to know stories I have from driving. I tell her about the young woman I picked up in the early hours of the morning in front of a nightclub who sat in the back and then leaned forward and puked on my hand as I was shifting gears. She chuckles. She also enjoys the story of the old man who crapped in his pants and left a mark on my back seat. "You've got such interesting stories. Much better than anything I can tell you about the corporate world." "You're right. That does sound boring." She looks at me from the corner of her eye, smiling. We stand up and walk around the park. A lump forms in my throat when she suggests we go to my place, which is just around the corner. Oh God. She can't see my place. It's pretty much a frat house, with 20-year-old drunks who are still deciding what to do with their future. If I had been their age, it would have been acceptable for me to live there, but that was 10 years ago. What is she going to think of me when she sees I live in a 12-square-meter room and share the kitchen and bathroom? I'm looking at the ground, silent for longer than usual. My peripheral shows me that she's looking at me as we walk. It's the Bill scenario from the previous date all over again. I can tell that she senses my awkwardness. She keeps staring at me, not letting me off the hook. I clear my throat and look at her. "Okay. I didn't think she would see my place this soon, but maybe it's best that it's now before we go any further. This way, my heart won't get broken after I've fallen in love with her and she leaves because I don't own my own place." We keep the conversation to a minimum on the way to the house. I anticipate her grimacing and then excusing herself to leave forever. I open the gate for her and hear music from the room upstairs with the open window. Great, just great. I unlock the door to my room and let her in. She looks around the room and then sits on the bed, smiling. I stand at the doorframe, expecting her to leave. But she's still here. And she doesn't seem disturbed. The only thing my room has going for itself is that it's spotless. I slowly close the door, still giving her a chance to run out. But that doesn't happen. I sit next to her, and we smile. "Would you like something to drink?" I ask. "I'm fine, thank you." She doesn't want a drink, and we already spoke quite a bit at the park. So she must be here for one thing. I shift closer to her, my leg brushes hers. Our faces are mere centimeters away from each other. I put my arm around her lower back and hold her waist. Susanna closes her eyes as I lean in and kiss her. I lean forward, and she reclines on the bed. I lay on top of her, and she wraps her legs around me. While kissing her, I thrust my hip. She feels my boner against her groin more. She moans, and I lower my lips to her neck and nibble it. I glance at her. Her eyes are closed, and she's smiling. I can't believe that the most beautiful woman in the world is in my small bedroom and enjoying my kisses. I pull off her top, and she raises her arms above her head. Her C-cup breasts are perfectly round, and her nipples are the size of beans. I wrap my lips around her one nipple and lick and suck simultaneously while rubbing her other tit. My lips switch to the other nipple, and I reach for her pussy. I rub it over her leggings, and she moans, which tells me she wants me to stick my dick inside her ASAP. I shift lower and then pull off her leggings. She's wearing a black lacy G-string. It looks so good on her, but even better off her body. I hold the G-string over the bed and drop it on the floor. She opens her legs and I stick three fingers into her pussy and lick her clit. Susanna arches her back and groans. I continue licking, my tongue waggling in all directions on her pussy. She loves it. I stand up, and she pulls down my pants. She wraps her lips on my dick and then engulfs it as her lips slid down my dick. I smile, looking at her beautiful face and feeling her moist lips on my dick. She raises my dick and licks my balls. I hope that she hasn't done that with every guy she's been with and it's only me. I watch her turn around and go on her hands and knees on the bed. Her ass opens up as she perks it up above the edge of the bed. Her figure is amazing. I can't stop staring at her ass. And her skin is smooth and free of agony. I run my hands up her back and grab her shoulders, squeezing them. My dick presses against her ass. I shift slightly closer to the bed, and the tip of my dick is nudging her pussy, eager to slip inside. My dick slides into her wet, tight pussy. It feels even better than I thought it would. I thrust hard and fast, and she groans. Her groans evolve into screams as she's jerking forward with my hard thrusts. I spank her ass and then run my hand down her smooth, muscular leg. I grab her tight waist and proceed with short, rapid thrusts. My legs are slapping against hers, and her upper body is convulsing as I drill her pussy. She shoots out short, rapid screams, which I love. It motivates me to keep drilling her. Both of us are loving it. I slow down, and she bows her head and pants, trying to catch her breath. My forehead is moist, and my chest expands and contracts as I look at the back of her head. I resume the short, rapid breaths, making her raise her head and scream. I close my eyes and smile as I feel my balls tighten even more. It feels like the biggest load I've shot, and I so badly want to bust inside her. But I realize that it's not a good idea. I pull out my dick and shoot on her back, groaning. The first shot reaches her mid-back, but the next shot lands on her upper back. My balls feel looser, and I exhale a deep breath of satisfaction. That was by far the best sex I had. I lay on the bed, and Susanna rests her head on my chest and closes her eyes. I kiss her forehead and eventually hear that she's fallen asleep. As I look at the ceiling, I realize that she didn't come over just for a bang. She actually doesn't mind being in my room. I smile, feeling like the luckiest guy in the world to have such an amazing woman in my arms. I wish that it can be like this forever. She's amazing, beautiful, and such a wonderful person. I can't ask for a better woman. My insecurity crawls out of the woodwork as I wonder if she feels the same about me. It would be so cool if she did. I truly believe that she and I would make a great couple and that I would treat her so well. I can't fall asleep because I'm looking at her. She's so peaceful. I press my lips gently on her forehead, careful not to awaken her. She moans and slightly shifts her head, her lips stretching. I I'm certain that she's asleep, but mesmerized that she manages to smile even in her sleep. God, she's perfect in every way. I can't get enough of her, and I want my lips pressed against her face permanently as my arms explore every centimeter of her body. I want to be inside her, on her, and all over her. My wish is that she wants the same. In the morning, we leave at 5 o'clock as she needs to get ready for work. I drop her off at her place, and she leans over and kisses me. Thank you. For what? I ask. Being so amazing. I felt I didn't do much except treat her with respect and not put her on a pedestal, unlike most of the guys who hit on her. Well, I did give her pretty good sex too. She messages me later in the day to ask how I'm doing. I smile. She's so sweet for keeping tabs on me. The only other woman who did that was my mother. Throughout the next few months, Susanna sleeps over at my place more than I do at hers. She even calls me baby and introduces me to her friends as her boyfriend. Simultaneously, Bitcoin's price is bullish. I follow the price every day and notice that massive trading volume pours into the market. I've got a good feeling about it. In November, Bitcoin tops out at $100,000, and I sell all my coins. I bought when the price of Bitcoin was a few thousand dollars and kept buying regularly, at an average price of $8,000. I accumulated 15 coins. Sitting in my car and looking at my account, I lean my head back on the rest and smile. At age 31, my dream of being able to afford a home for cash has come true. If I buy a home for $300,000, I can invest the rest so that it earns interest while I decide on the business I want to open. Not having to pay rent anymore will enable me to have even more money. I tighten my lips and clench my fist. Yes. Mom would be so proud. I haven't told Susanna about the return on my investment. I plan to house shop for the next few weeks and surprise her. A month later, I find my dream home. After I pick her up, I drive to my new home. She frowns, looking at me as I park in front of the gate. Why are we here? I smile. I'd like to show you something. As I unlock the front door, I see her in my peripheral, smiling at me. Welcome to my new home. With her lips apart and eyes broadened, she looks around the place. This looks amazing. I'm so proud of you, she says, and then puts her arms around my neck. Smiling, Susanna kisses me. That's something only my mother would say to me. I don't mean to pry, but how did you buy this place? I have no issue with her prying into my business. She has every right to, and I'm glad she does. Her doing it makes me feel that she cares about me. My investments paid off big time. On Monday afternoon after work, Susanna joins me for a shopping press. She helps me pick out furniture and ornaments for my home. I'm impressed by her taste because it's similar to mine. On Valentine's Day, I cook her a meal at my home. After dinner, I scoop her into my arms and carry her to bed. We make passionate love for a few hours. During the lovemaking, she whispers into my ear, "I love you." While she's asleep, I can't stop thinking about what she professed. I should be over the moon, but I'm wondering where her feeling stems from. In the morning, I still can't stop thinking about it, and she notices that I'm preoccupied. "Something on your mind?" she asks. "Actually, yes." I look down, swallow, and then look at her. "I can't stop thinking about what you said last night. About me being in love with you." "Yes." She has a slight smile as she looks at me. She keeps looking at me, not saying anything. I believe she will give me something to go on, but it seems that she's waiting for me to say something. "I'm just curious if you said that because of all of this, I gesture to my home. Her slight smile fades, and I notice her feelings change on her face. I was with you when you were in a small room and didn't have money to take me out, she says, and then walks to the bathroom. I hear the disappointment in her tone, which slashes across my heart, splitting it in two and making blood pour out of it. My head drops, and my chin brushes my collarbone as I lean on the kitchen counter. That was the dumbest thing I've ever said because I said it to the woman I'm madly in love with. Instead of telling her I love her too, I question her motives. I shake my head, disappointed with myself for letting my insecurity get the better of me again. Susanna steps out of the bathroom and says, I'm going home. Okay, let me get my keys. No. I've requested a taxi. Her tone and expression suggest I should accept her decision and not try to convince her otherwise. Okay. I say softly. I open the door for her and walk her out. The taxi arrives, and I open the door. Without looking at me, she says, thanks, and gets inside. I walk back inside and slump onto my couch and blow out a long breath. The last thing I wanted to do was hurt Susanna, but I managed to do just that. I realize that I have to convince her that I'm madly in love with her. Words alone aren't going to cut it. I have to show her. The following day, I stop by her place after work, unannounced. She opens the door and avoids eye contact with me, the same way she did when she first saw me at the gym. The only difference is that she's not shy now. She looks annoyed. May I come in? She opens the door further and steps aside. In her lounge, I say, look, Susanna. I know what I said was unacceptable, and it had nothing to do with you. I was projecting my stupid insecurity onto you. I'm really sorry. Her arms are crossed and she's still avoiding my eyes. I love you too. Her gaze rises, meeting my eyes. I pull out a box out of my jacket and open it, then get on my knee, holding it up. Susanna, you're the most amazing and beautiful woman in the world. I will be honored to share everything I have with you and spend the rest of my life with you in my arms. Will you make me the most blessed man in the world by marrying me? Her hand covers her mouth, and a vein protrudes from her forehead as tears pool in her eyes. Yes, I will. She nods and then throws her arms around me. I kiss her forehead as she tucks her head into my chest. She looks up at me, and I kiss my wife-to-be.